All numbers are estimates and are subject to change. That cautionary note kicked off McGillivray's presentation, which was otherwise very upbeat about the economic viability of the Bokan Mine, located on the western end of Kendrick Bay on Prince of Wales. And what would that mine produce? Rare earth elements, a group of difficult-to-pronounce metals used in constructing high-tech products such as cell phones, hybrid vehicles, wind power generators, and Department of Defense projects.
A critical thing about rare earth elements is there's two sort of sub-classifications, light versus heavy. And the Bokan project is skewed towards the heavy rare earth elements. And that's significant from an economic standpoint because of the relative value of heavy rare earth elements versus light rare earth elements.
McGillivray points out that most rare earth elements aren't all actually rare. The heavy ones are, though, which makes them about 200 times more expensive than the most valuable light rare earth element. That means the return on investment is expected to be high, about 43%. The capital costs of the mine will be about $221 million, and investors should get their money back in less than 3 years once production begins. And when will that be? Well, UCOR is about to start the permitting process with the U.S. Forest Service, so that's not clear. The company also needs to start a more definitive feasibility study, and that will include agreements with potential future customers. Once it does start, though, the mine will produce 1,500 tons of unprocessed rock per day, employing between 170 and 200 people. McGillivray says they are committed to local hire and for selfish reasons, too. He says there's a lot of turnover in the mining industry, and that can cut into profits.
So, as opposed to us bringing people from Nevada and Montana who are excited about coming to Alaska and you know, seeing what Alaska is all about and working here for a while, we want to make sure that we get local people who have families here, who know the climate and the situation and are well adapted to staying and becoming long-term employees.
The mine won't just extract rock. The processing facility also will be on site. Crushed rock will go through two sorting lines, one using X-rays to separate waste rock from pieces containing the desired metals. The other uses magnets to further separate the rocks. That'll bring the amount to be chemically treated down from 1,500 tons to about 350. The big question in any mining venture is, what about the tailings, the stuff left over after the elements have been chemically separated from the rock?
This is a very unique project in that all of our milled tailings that go through the mill will be put back underground.
Processed tailings mixed with some of the unprocessed waste rock will be blended into a cement mixture and used to backfill the mine shafts. That means no tailings left on the surface. An audience member asked whether any underground streams could carry contaminants to the ocean. McGillivray says there is groundwater, but UCOR has plans to channel and treat that water. Guy Archibald of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council says the safety of such a process is unknown.
This is very new technology, and it has not withstood the test of time. How that weathers underground, given groundwater conditions, has yet to be determined. So how safe this technology is in the long run, nobody knows yet.
Archibald says a study shows that groundwater can leach contaminants such as heavy metals just like any other tailings. In addition, he says the waste rock that hasn't been processed also is potentially dangerous.
Some of this rock is going to be radioactive, because we're near the old Bokan Mountain uranium mine, the Ross Adams mine. You know, they're not saying at all how they're going to handle this material at all.
Archibald says that while there are concerns, SEAC isn't necessarily opposed to the potential mine. He says the group just hopes that any development will be done in a responsible manner. UCOR does have a community plan in the works. McGillivray says he wants to write that plan with input from area business owners to make sure the mine can be built and managed to maximize local benefit. He expressed appreciation for Ketchikan's interest in the project.
I lived in Juneau from 96 to 99, and I worked at Kensington from 2002 to 2006. And pretty nice to come catch can.
Once up and running, the Bokan mine would need between 4 and 6 megawatts of power. That would be generated on site, although if a road to the mine is approved, a hydroelectric power line is possible in the future. Senator Lisa Murkowski has introduced a bill in Washington, D.C. to allow such a road, which would go through designated roadless areas. Rare earth mining also is on the minds of state lawmakers. The Alaska Senate just approved a resolution that calls on the state to identify deposits, develop an informational database, and promote development of the industry through a streamlined permitting process. That resolution still needs to pass the state house. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.